In this part of the program, we hear about harnessing the energy of enthusiastic political supporters. In a moment, a comedian's take. First, here's NPR's national political correspondent, Mara Liasson, on Barack Obama's big new grassroots movement, those millions of volunteers and small donors who helped him beat John McCain. The president-elect has to figure out how they can help him govern.
On election night, a victorious Barack Obama thanked his wife and his campaign manager and his strategist, but then he thanked his volunteers, the army of political foot soldiers who donated money and knocked on doors.
This is your victory. Now, I know you didn't do this just to win an election. I know you didn't do it for me.
Now the incoming president has to be just as innovative in harnessing their power post-election as he was during the campaign. Howard Dean is the outgoing chairman of the DNC, and he's thrilled Obama has brought millions of new people into the Democratic Party.
He's changed all the rules, not just with the use of the internet and the fundraising, but he's changed the rules in terms of how you ask people for their vote and who you ask for your vote.
Obama took the foundation Dean himself dug in 2004 with his small-dollar internet fundraising and at the DNC with his now-vindicated 50-state strategy. And on top of all that, Obama erected a powerful political infrastructure. The numbers are eye-popping. 10 million names on an email list, 3.1 million donors. But the most important number of all may be the tens of thousands of what the campaign called super volunteers, people who worked sometimes 40 or 50 hours a week for Obama.
We've run sort of a giant experiment here in volunteer management, and we want to take a look at the lessons learned from that.
John Carson was the national field director for the Obama campaign, and he's one of the people trying to figure out what to do with the grassroots movement Obama created.
As President-elect Obama takes office and a legislative agenda is put together, I think in the same way that these incredible volunteers that we had carried his message throughout the campaign, talking to their neighbors about why he was the right candidate to bring the change that we needed, I can see them in a similar way explaining a health care proposal, explaining whatever issue it is.
And, of course, as soon as they're done explaining Obama's plans to their neighbors, President Obama can go right around the so-called media filter and urge them, through text messages and emails and video links, to inundate their Congress members with expressions of support for his agenda.
My name's Tony Lloyd, and I live in Racine, Wisconsin.
Meet one member of Obama's grassroots movement. Tony Lloyd used to live in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, where he first saw Obama and volunteered. Then his job took him to Wisconsin.
I went online again to, you know, sort of click the little volunteer button, and I went down to the local Barack Obama campaign headquarters and walked in and said, "What do you need me to do?"
Lloyd became an Obama team leader, getting out the vote. Since last Tuesday, he's remained plugged in to mybarackobama.com. And on Monday night, Lloyd himself created a new website, yeswecanracine.com. By Tuesday morning, it had 12 members.
There is an entire army out here who is anxious to continue to push in the same direction. And whatever he asks us to do, we will do. If he needs me to call my member of Congress, you know, I'm perfectly willing to do that. And the beauty of the web-enabled infrastructure that he built is the fact that it gives us all a way to be part of the conversation, both uploading our ideas and downloading from the Obama administration.
Lloyd's already been to the Obama transition website, change.gov. In keeping with the campaign's interactive approach, it asks visitors to share their memories of election night and their ideas for Obama's agenda. It's a way for the new administration to keep its supporters engaged until it knows what else it wants them to do. So if Howard Dean, with his millions of small donors, was Orville Wright, and Obama, with his wired grassroots, was Neil Armstrong, what will be next? Sarah Taylor is the former political director of the Bush White House, and she has one idea.
We're at a place in the country where almost everybody has a cell phone, but not many people have a smartphone, meaning a video-enabled phone. That'll change over the next 3 to 4 or 5 years.
And by then, Taylor says, if you're a mom with two kids who cares about education,
a smart, forward-leaning campaign will know that. They will have had you sign up into their system, and they'll be able to serve you advertising via a text message that links right to a video with your candidate speaking in a beautiful video about the importance of education reform. That, I think, is most likely to be sort of the next iteration of new technology.
It's a lot cheaper than buying television ad time, and it's just technology, available to any political party so long as it can harness it to serve a powerful message and a messenger, just like Barack Obama did. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.